Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
We still do this day. You get in the job, you work for somebody. Isn't it amazing how that boss can tell you what to do, and yet you still say, I want to do it this way? Right? You get in a relationship with people, things are different, we decide this, but I want to do it my way. And Satan comes along to Adam and Eve and says, look, you'll be like God. Did God really say, don't you think you have a right to? He questioned God's truth. He says, you're going to eat of this fruit, you won't die, you'll become like God. In other words, you can ascend to the throne. You can be in charge. And we all like being in charge. Okay? But what happened? When they sinned, they did not become like God. They became less of themselves. Now suddenly, the innocence was gone. And we all have become less than we were created to be. Can we agree with that? What God created us to be, we're not there. They were still human, but they were less than perfect. And they now entered a state that the Bible calls this, death. Sin. Ephesians 2:1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. A life without God means you're dead. Now, what does sin mean? If you go into the original language, how is sin defined? Okay, that's one. It's not the original definition. Sin literally means, it's a great illustration, it means to miss the mark. Picture the target, a bullseye, and an archery. You know that target? And when you shoot the arrow, if you don't hit the bullseye, you have missed the mark. You have fallen short. You have not measured up to. And death means you're separated from life. And so what it says is you're not living up to the standard. You've missed the mark of what I created you to be, and now you're separated from God, and because you're separated from God, you're dead. Not physically, but every other way. Ephesians 4:18. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. When Adam and Eve sinned, they became separated from life. And they missed the mark of what life created them to be. We say separated from God, and that is true, but we can also say separated from life. Because in Him, there's life. Outside of Him is always described as death.
Understand this is big. Okay? That if I'm not in God, I'm not living. I'm alive and taking breath, but I'm in charge. I'm doing my own thing. I'm not measuring up to what I'm doing. That's called death. But when I come to Christ, now suddenly I find life. What does that mean?
It means I make him the source.
It means I let him be the judge. And we live.
Adam and Eve lost all.
And they lost themselves. And they lost each other. And they lost the life they were created to have and designed to live in.
To me, that's some of the basic reasons why a lot of people
will not come to Christ because they don't want to give up their own toward themselves. They don't want to give it over. My way. Frank Sinatra said it in his songs. I did it my way. And a lot of people today are just want to do it their way. It starts off actually when you're a little kid. As a little kid, I just visited with my grandson. He was always about himself. He was always doing it his way. We have to grow out of that. If we get to know Christ, we can.
Yep. Now, here's the deception of it, how Satan works. If you were to talk to somebody that, like Otis just described, or many Christians, or many people, they would not say they're rebelling against God. They would just simply say, well, I see things a little differently. Well, I don't believe in that. I don't think that way. They don't see it as rebellion. They don't see it as missing a mark. They don't see it as rejecting God. They just see it as, I think, different, which is the essence of missing the mark of sin. And so we don't view things as harsh as, oh, they're rebelling against God. Oh, we might define that of somebody else that we know of who we don't like and, you know, not doing what they should be doing. But we never define that enough. But in essence, everything you and I do that isn't right is us rebelling against God. Is us putting ourselves on the throne saying, I know better. See, God says, look, I want you to forgive people when they hurt you. Well, I just don't agree with that. Well, now you've rebelled against God. Right?
Actually, you make yourself God.
Yeah.
Well, we're good people. We're okay. And then you make yourself as God.
Yeah.
You say you're okay. Or you say that's the right way to live.
Right.
That's the right decision to make. But God knows what's right. It's called righteousness.
Yep. Okay. So let's go on. Here's what happened. They became independent from the source. In other words, God's the source. He made everything. He's the one who's in control. He's the one who has everything you and I need. The old hymn, he's all I need. Or, of course, I guess it is. He's all I need. Okay? That's, in essence, true. But when Adam and Eve sinned, they said, he's not all I need. And thus Isaiah writes in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. We left God's way of doing things to follow our way of doing things. Now, the thing you and I have to guard against is we try to walk two roads. Okay? One path, well, I'm a Christian. I want to do what God wants me to do. I understand God. I understand it. I give my life. This is what I'm good to do. But have you ever noticed that there are certain things in your life where there's another way? Well, I just don't really see this. And we try to go here, and we try to straddle the two. Well, I understand forgiveness, but I don't really think God wants me to forgive them. I still love God, still want to serve God, but I just don't agree with that forgiveness thing. You don't know how they've hurt me. You don't know what they've done for me. And so what happens is we end up trying to walk two different roads. Not rebelling against God. Yeah, right. Just not agreeing with everything he says. That creates our problems. You find that area in your life, and I will guarantee you that is the major issue of your life. So they became independent from the source. They no longer needed him to provide. They provided on their own. We good? That doesn't sound very enthusiastic. Secondly, they lost their relationships. They lost their relationships. Now remember, last week we talked about why did God make us? Oh, here we go. Relationships. And so when they sinned, what happens? The Bible tells us they became separated. You know, when God said they would die, there was a physical element to that. They're going to die. Because if they hadn't sinned, they would still be alive today. But they also, it also means that they're going to be separated from Him who's life. If He's my life, if He's my source, if He's everything that I have, and I sin, I am separated from life. And if I don't have life, I have death. And so they lost their relationship, and the Bible calls it alienation. Bible also puts it this way. We become enemies of God. Now, if you talk to most people in America today, they would say, oh, I'm not His enemy. I'm not against Him. I just don't agree with everything. You're an enemy. Colossians 1:21, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were His enemies, separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. What's evil? Sin? Anything that goes against God, right? So, the relationship with God became broken. And now God, who used to come down and have relationship and fellowship with them, we're told by the cool of the day, that stopped. Why? Okay? God and sin cannot mix. Okay? God could not have a relationship with them because of their sin. Anytime you sin, your relationship with God gets broken. Right? So the relationship, they lost it. Think about it. They had this relationship where every day they met with God. Pretty incredible. And because of their disobedience, they forfeited that. How much do we forfeit by our disobedience? But that wasn't all. They not only had a fractured relationship with God, now Adam and Eve have a fractured relationship with each other. They don't get along as well. Well, Pastor, where does the Bible say that? Well, if you read it, I didn't print it out for you, but you know it. It says that Adam and Eve realized they were naked and ashamed and covered up. And how many things have we been covering up since then so that other people won't know because we're different? And their intimacy and their vulnerability was lost. Their ability to trust each other, their ability to have good relationships. You see, before sin, Adam and Eve never had an argument. Before sin, Eve recognized Adam as the man. Before sin, Adam recognized Eve as the, whoa, man. And everything was perfect. Right? But once they sinned, it not only hurt their relationship with God, it hurt their relationship with each other. And whenever you go against God, you not only hurt your relationship with God, you also hurt your relationship with other people. So that when we talk about spiritual growth and how if I'll grow spiritually, it'll affect the other areas of my life, You know, if I'll do things God's way, my relationship with Him will be good, and my relationship with people will be better. Right? And so, from that point on, what do we see happening in the Old Testament? We see families struggling. We see a brother killing a brother. We see issues that happened all because relationships were fractured when Adam and Eve sinned. They went against God. They wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to be independent. I want to be in charge. And they withdrew from the source, so they didn't have what they needed, and they hurt themselves. Pretty clear, right? Pretty simple. Another thing that happened. Well, okay, yeah, I'll come back to it. They reversed the structure and the order. You see, they tried to become God, and they turned everything upside down. So therefore now we as people, we become the judge of what's right and wrong. We see somebody else doing something and we say, well, that's just wrong. Well, let me ask you a simple question. Who made you the judge? That was never given to you by God. That's what we're told, don't judge. But we do, don't we? Why don't we judge? Because we don't see a heart or a motive, do we? We thought we understood good and evil. We don't. We think we see things really clearly. We don't. And so they reversed the structure and the order of things. No longer was God in charge, and he was the boss, and he was the source, and he was the one who set the rules, and he was the one who could enforce that, and he's the one there. We now say, no, I'm now the one. I'll say whether something's good or evil. I'm going to go here. Okay, just for fun, for me. Might not be fun for you, but fun for me. Thus, when we look at a political system of who's running, we judge who's good and evil, don't we? Who made you judge? Stone me if you want to. I don't care. You see how simple it is for us to get there? How easy, we don't view it as, oh, I'm not rebelling against God. It's just that I just don't think that's right. Okay, but with you, if you don't think it's right for you, good. I'm good with that. But when you try to begin to impose your values on somebody else, even though you think they're godly, you're wrong. Right? And does not that create problems for us? All because we think we know better. And so they reversed the structure. Then they reversed the roles. They reversed the roles. We stopped seeing ourselves as creatures, acting like we can live apart from the Creator, independent of Him. We can control things. We can control each other. And we stopped We stopped buying into God's design and started making up our own. And now I'm in charge. So that's what happens at the fall. It's all lost. All because of us. And we create problems for ourselves, don't we? Fortunately, it's not the end of the story. There's this thing called redemption. Redemption. Now, I use the word redemption. Last week I can interchange a few words, and here's another place where I can do this. God is, what is He doing at redemption? He is reconciling everything back to Himself. He's trying to reestablish the order. God says, here's the order, the way it started, the way I intended it to be, the way I want it to be. I'll be this. Adam and Eve said, no, we're going to do our own thing. We're going to sin. God says, okay, you've done that. How's it working for you? Not good. Okay, I'm going to redeem you so that you can be reconciled back to where you were. Isaiah 53:5. He was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. And so God wants to return everything to its rightful order. And whenever you and I apply that to our lives, it's the process of growth. We become the people God intended us to be. We become righteous. And that solves so many things in life. And we come back to God as the source. We retreat from our independence. We stop trying to be self-made. We quit trying to see things through our eyes. We try to see them through God. Or as the Bible puts it in this very simple little phrase, we seek His kingdom above all else. And when we put God in the place that He's the source and that we're impoverished and that we need Him, we're in a position to receive, aren't we? So redemption takes us from us trying to provide everything for ourselves and turning to God. So let me go through this real quick. Redemption puts us back into two relationships. Two. Say, well, Pastor, isn't it enough just to be in a relationship with God? No. I mean, that's where it starts. But Jesus Himself, what's the two commandments? Mark 12:29. Most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. Last week, what's another word for Lord? Oh, come on, it's only been a week. Boss. God's in control. He's the Lord. And you must love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Now, notice what he says here. Don't miss this. The second is kind of important. Equally, the same as. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than this. So when I am redeemed and reconciled, I now have a great, better relationship with God. And here's where it gets hard, because this one's easy to fake. This one's easy to say, oh, God and me are fine. But it also means I now have a good relationship with people. Not just the people I like. Not just my family. See, what we do is we put ourselves in this little cluster called family, me and the kids. Why? Because everybody in that little cluster has to take me as I am, and I don't have to be nice to them. Right? But when I get outside of that, now I got to act different, don't I? You shouldn't have to. Everything in life depends on these two relationships. Your health depends on these two relationships. Okay, I'll go on. Redemption is also a surrender to God as Lord. In other words, He has the right to tell me what to do. When I say I'm redeemed, what that means is I listen to Him and obey Him. Well, I know what He says to do this, but I just don't agree with this. Or I know this is kind of in the Bible, but I don't see a problem with it. You know, I don't think it's that big of an issue. I think God understands. We have all kinds of little loopholes, don't we? Whenever we do that, we're rebelling. He's no longer Lord. Now, what He's done is, to help me with this, He's given me two resources to help me obey Him. One is, He's given us His Holy Spirit, who His Spirit now lives in us, correct? Is there to tell us and counsel us, that's wrong, this is right, correct? He's there to guide us, to counsel us, to empower us. He's there to help us be the person we want to be and God wants us to be, right? And then, not only that, he gives us other people. Well, I don't like the people he's given me. And see, those other people are there to help me be the person God wants me to be, aren't I? Because God says, Scripture says this, look, you will demonstrate your love for me by the way you love others. He puts other people in your path to help you continue to walk the way you should be walking. Who will walk up to you one day and say, that's not right. You need to stop it. And if you've redeemed, you say, thank you. If you're not, you say, well, who are you? What right do you have? You're not so perfect yourself. Let me tell you some things about you. Right? When I listen to those two people, it gives me the power to stop ruining my life. But when I go against the Holy Spirit or go against the people God has placed me around, I will make a mess of my life. Well, I'll listen to God and I don't need anybody else telling me what to do. Oh, yes, you do. If God says be kind to others and I disobey, I ruin my relationships. To both. If God says don't steal and I steal, I ruin my relationships. To both. If I cheat, I'll wreck it all. So I no longer have to destroy my life by doing things my way. I now get to redeem my life by doing things God's way, and we stop doing the deeds of death and start doing the things that lead to life. Romans 7:5. When you were controlled by your old nature, sinful desires that were at work within us, and the law aroused these evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds resulting in death. What kind of death? Separation from God. But now we've been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in a new way of living in the Spirit. So we give up our independence and become dependent. We give up our rights and become a slave. We lose our life to find it. And we give up trying to control things that we can't control anyway. And we yield and trust in God's control. And I work at controlling me, because controlling me is a full-time job. I don't have time to control you. Besides, that'd be more frustrating than controlling me, probably. And thus we become people of self-control. We give up judging people because that's not our job. We let God take care of things. He knows how to take care of things, by the way. And we don't condemn people. We don't shame people. We just love people. So by not trying to play God, I get to be me. Well, Pastor, I don't want to be me. I'm a mess. You're right, you are. But if God has redeemed you, he's come into your life to clean up the mess. And if you will follow his order, you will grow and the mess can go away. Or you can be a mess and go to counseling for the rest of your life and try to get it all sorted out and figure out why you did this or why you did that, or you can do this or this or this, or you can try to have somebody cast something out of you that you know is wrong. You can do whatever you want to do, or you can just simply come to that place where, God, thank you for forgiving me. I now give up my life to have your life. And we find life, and we truly live. For example, we've been talking about marriage. God wrote the rules on how it worked, what marriage is. So what happens in our culture? We redefine marriage. And now it's, no fault this. It's lived together before. It's between any two people. That's death. That just creates problems. People that God loves and we love. Right? Hold it. We love them. We have to. God does. And we want them to find life. But see, you know what the biggest obstacle to finding life is? Me. Because I can't no longer be in charge of the world and the universe and say how everything should be done and how everything should be run. I now have to let God take care of it. But when I let Him take care of things and be the source and the boss, I get to live. That's life. And that's how you grow. Okay? That's right. So, that's the foundation of growth, of understanding how this works and what we're called to do and who we're called to be. All right? Next week.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.